this week we have a double parsha of Matos Maseh, which ends the book of Bamidbar. It's the parsha of Chazak, the end. Parsha of Matos begins with the laws of Nedarim, the laws of vows. The Torah begins by telling us, Vaydaber Moshe Rashei HaMatot Livnei Yisrael Lemor. Moshe spoke to the heads of the tribes of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing that Hashem has commanded. If a man takes a vow to Hashem or swears an oath to establish a prohibition upon himself, then the Torah tells us, Lo yachel dvaro. He shall not desecrate his word. Kichol hayotze mipiv yaseh. According to whatever comes from his mouth, shall he do. And then the Torah goes through in great specifics the laws of Nedarim, the laws of vows, which are very, very complicated laws. I'd like to raise one question, and in that sense, get a sense of what the whole inyan of Nedarim are about in a very general way, and much more specifically, be able to give us a guiding light in this period of time now of the Ben HaMitzarim, the time of the 3 weeks. The question which is raised by the Mefarshim, Rav Sternbach's Sefer, A Voice in the Darkness, raises this question, and he says in source number 2, the Torah generally introduces a statement, Vayomer Hashem Moshe Lemor, Vaydaber Hashem Moshe, and Hashem said to Moshe. In Parashas Matot, we find a deviation from this pattern. The Torah writes, and Moshe spoke to the heads of the Matot, the tribe, saying, what is the reason for this change in the phraseology? Instead of it, Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, it says, and Moshe spoke to the heads of the tribe. And then the pasuk continues, this is what you should tell the Jewish people. In other sections of the Torah, it merely states what it is. We don't even have this, and this is what you should tell the Jewish people. Most of the Torah was taught to Moshe Rabbeinu in a brief form, and then taught to the rest of the Jewish people in a more elaborate version. Parsha Nedarim differs from the rest of the Torah in 2 ways. 1, Moshe Rabbeinu told it directly to the leaders of Klal Yisrael. And 2, he relayed the Parsha in the condensed form that he heard it directly from Hashem. And that's the question I'd like to try to grapple with today. What is it about the Nedarim? What is it about the vows that it was said in a different way directly to the Rashei HaMatot, the leaders of the tribes, and not in the normal way of Hashem speaking to Moshe and the Moshe telling over to the Jewish people? So the first approach, which I'd like to answer right away and then develop the answer as the focus of our shiur today, and then we'll briefly do 2 other answers, is that the Parsha of Nedarim comes to teach us in source 3 the great power of speech that we've been endowed with. A simple object can be sanctified with Kedusha merely by uttering a few words. By saying, this is like a korban, we can even give an object the status of Kedusha. Similarly, Jewish mouths should be sanctified with words of Torah and prayer. Someone who pollutes his speech with Lashon Hara and other verbal transgressions is destroying this holy gift. His Torah will not affect him, and his tefillos will not have the same power in heaven. And that's why Parsha Nedarim is written differently than the rest of the Torah. By using the exact, concise wording that Hashem had relayed to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem wished to convey how carefully one must deal with the power of the tongue involving Nedarim and all speech-related issues. Each word must be weighed prudently, lest the wrong word slip out and wreak havoc in the world. Why is it said succinctly? Why is it Zeh HaDavar Asher Tzivah Hashem and told over in that same succinct manner and not the elaborate way that Moshe Rabbeinu usually elaborated what he said? To show us the chashivos, the importance of each and every word, how each and every word has to be measured out and how each and every word is important. And that is why, he says, the Torah introduces it. This is what Hashem said. Unlike other parshios that were altered for the sake of clarity and explanation, the Torah used the exact wording to relay this section. This choice of brevity comes to stress how careful one must be when choosing words in any section. And now we understand, and this is answer number one, why this section had to be taught directly to the leaders. Only great Torah scholars in the asterisks in four are capable of fathoming the terse version and then accurately communicating to the rest of the Jewish people. After they had sufficiently absorbed this section, they could teach it to the rest of the people. Since this section was taught in such a succinct manner, it was only those who were the leaders, who were the great Amitei Chachamim, the great scholars, they could understand it on this succinct level, and then they could elaborate on it and give it over to the people. It's a technical reason. But what we do learn from this, that the fact that it was said in such a terse way, the fact that it was said only to the Chachamim, the leaders, who could appreciate it, is this lesson of how careful we have to be in our speech and how guarded we have to be when we speak. And in fact, he quotes here a maisa, an incident in source 6, that Rav Yitzchak Blaser, who was, we know, one of the most devoted Talmidim of Yisrael Salanter, when he died, he came to Rav Chaim Berlin in a dream, and he said that all the judgments in the next world are difficult, but those related to speech are among the hardest in terms of the judgment. Because, and part of the reason for this is, we speak all day long, and we transgress with our speech all day long, and we fall into certain patterns with our speech. And it's very hard to change those patterns, whether, as we spoke about last week, saying brachos very quickly, or as we'll speak about this week, in terms of the way we interact using our voice. We use it in a very casual way without thinking. And this is something that we slip into such a negative rut, almost a habitual way of speech, that it's very hard to extract ourselves from it. And clearly, as we know in Source 7, when we're talking about now the 3 weeks, we're talking about the Churban, we know the destruction of Beis HaMikdash came because of Sinas Chinam, because of baseless hatred. So often, hatred and the manifestation of hatred is through the Koach HaDibur, the Koach HaSpeech. And over again, we've seen in the writings of the Chafetz Chaim that if we were to work on this one area of guarding our speech, of learning the halachos of Lashon Hara, of being careful what we say when we say it, this would bring about tremendous yeshuos, tremendous salvations to the Jewish people. And we know, I'm sure many of you have had this experience or heard about this, when people have gone to Rebbetzin Kanievsky for brachas, often she says to young women and to older women as well, you want a shmira, you want Yeshua, you want protection, make sure to learn two laws of Shmir Salashan, of the Chafetz Chaim Sefer, every single day. That is a school of Baduka. It's well known to create a shmira for an individual, their family, and their community. Let's talk a little bit about speech and develop why this idea of speaking succinctly was so imperative in this case that only the great leaders could understand it. When I was struggling to come up with a title, which I always say, the title and the story are harder than sometimes than the shiur itself. So I like to, as we know, to play with alliterations. So the science of speech is a better alliteration than the art of speech because it's an S sound. But I thought a lot about it, and I remember that when I got my master's in Jewish education, so it always fascinated me that the master's is a master's of science, not a master's of art. And you always wonder, is education a science or an art? And we could argue back and forth for a long time that it's one or the other, and we could probably come up to a conclusion that it's both. Yes, there is an art to speaking. Absolutely. You see great orators, you see charismatic people. Obviously, there's an art to speaking. But there's also a science to speaking. And that's what I'd like to focus in today, the Koach HaDibur. If we understand the dynamics of speech and spiritually what speech is about, I think it will give us the ability, and that's the goal of today, to be able to step back and for a number of moments examine this quality, this attribute that we take so for granted and realize what is inherent in this and how we are to utilize it to the best of our ability. Rav Reis in Marosh Sarim gives us, I think, in his introduction to his piece on the power of speech, perhaps the most fundamental principle. And he says, La'olam, always, it's Gemara in Tanis, Yira Adam Atzmo, a person should see themselves, Ki'ilu Kadosh Sharui B'toch Me'av, as if Kedusha, holiness, is found within them. When a person is recognizing that they have within them spiritual capacity, that they are endowed with this Ruach Elohim, this Ruach B'malala, the Spirit of God, then they realize that all that they are involved with is connected to an aspect of Kedusha. And this is the deeper meaning, as Rashi notes, of Ish ki adur neder lo yachel dvaro, he should not profane his words. Lo lechalalo velo lasoto chulin. A person who recognizes that their words, their mouth, the ruach mamalala, what makes them uniquely human, is their ability to speak. That when a person recognizes that kedusha, that holiness, that's found in speech, lo yachel dvaro, such a person will not disgrace this ability and make it into chulin, make it into something chol, make it into something profane. That, my friends, is the challenge incumbent upon each and every one of us. To recognize intellectually the kedusha inherent in our speech and recognize that everything that comes out of our ruach mamalala, our speech, has to be that of kedusha and of holiness. As he quotes the Toldos Yaakov Yosef in source number 9, toward the end, he says, Ki brit halashon hu kumnis halev, lufaresh v'legalot tfunot v'nistarot shavalev. Speech is the ability to reveal. It's the quill that writes what is within our hearts. It is the medium that we can connect that spiritual aspect of us, the deeper aspect of us, to the world around us. And that is why, whatever we say, even if it's dvarim regilim, regular things, we have to understand that there's an idea of kedusha, an idea of holiness that's attached to it. This idea Rav Reis develops by going through, starting in source number 11, the dargos v'dibor. There are different levels in speech, and each level reflects. And the way we handle each level, and these are situations we encounter, my friends, on a daily, if not an hourly, if sometimes not by a minute-by-minute level, these are things that have to be looked at through this prism of kedusha, of holiness. The first level he speaks about is gam dibur stami shel adam, regular speech of a person, kigon haftacha, shuftacha leploni v'kayotzei bo, the first is promises that you make. You know, I promise I'll be there tomorrow. And that's why there's an inyan. I'm not getting to the halachic inyanim of saying bli neder. Right? There's a famous story of Rav Soloveitchik who says, today we're going to finish the perek, the chapter in the Gemara, and he didn't say bli neder, and they sat there for 6 hours until they finished that chapter. So there is a halachic inyan about making sure that if you make a promise, you say bli neder, but I'm not getting into that halachic aspect. But when a person makes a commitment to somebody, it holds there's a certain aspect to this commitment. A person should keep by their word. If you tell something to somebody, you should hold by your word. They say this particularly in Chinuch Bani. It is imperative both for parents as well, my friends, as teachers, that if you make a promise to a child, that you keep that promise, that the children know that your yes is your yes. How many times, and I'm sure many of you can tell stories after stories, obviously it's about your children's teachers, not about ourselves. We're perfect. We all know that already. But our children's teachers, where the kid will come home and said, You know, the Moreh or the Rebbe promised that if we get A, B, or C, then he'll give us Q, R, or S. And we did A, B, and C, and the Rebbe didn't give it to us. Or the Rebbe promised us, so the Rebbe told me that tomorrow he'll give me, and the Rebbe never comes through. That is. I mean, obviously, we'll download the Kaschot, and they forgot, and the kid sees it as a definite, and the teacher said maybe. Right, we can, I'm not here to give a share on Tevei Dat. But I am here to say, as a parent, or if you're in a position of making these types of promises, you must say to a child, I will try, I will do the best of my ability, but if you say, I will do it, then we have to hold by our word as a word, and this is something fundamental. We'll talk about parenting, Mirtz Hashem, at the end, but this is fundamental in terms of teaching children and for children to be able to keep to their word as well. If a child says, I will set the table, then the child needs to keep to that word as well. And just like the child holds the parent to a word, the parent can likewise say to the child, you need to hold by your word too. Our word is our word, and we must keep our word. You'll have a very quiet house, trust me. That's the first level of speech. The second, in the arrow in 11, Chamura mikachi alashon medaber gdolot v'mashmia dvarim asurim kirichilut v'lashon hara. The second level of speech, which is obviously more severe, is when we utilize our speech improperly. When we say things out of exaggeration, when we use our speech for haughtiness, and when we speak negatively about a person. And he says, and this is such a classic line, based on the pasuk in Tehillim Yud Beis, Hey, Asher Amru L'Shonenu Negbir Sfatenu Itanu Miadon Lanu. Only a person who feels disconnected from God could such a person speak words that are improper. If a person always felt that connection to God, then how could they use the most spiritual aspect of themselves to utilize it in such a negative, profane type of way? Obviously, such a person is not connected. Then another level of speech, not necessarily in any order, is the speech that's found in the Dorim and Shvuos. And this in source 12 is very interesting, that a person can say, I take upon myself a neder not to eat a certain food. And then that food becomes usher to you, forbidden to you, like something treif. It has that same quality, which is fascinating to think about. If a person would say, right, I'm not saying this, right, as an example, if such a person would say, I am never eating ice cream again, right? It's an idea about Taurus and Taurus to get out of a nether, which again, we're not talking about today. But if a person would say, I'm never eating ice cream, so for them to eat ice cream is as if it's something that's forbidden, like, you know, eating something, other food that's forbidden. But you know what you see from this, my friends, which is so fascinating? Is that not only does the Torah from above be able to grant certain things that are forbidden and permissible, but we, coming from ourselves, have the ability through speech to create in our own ways these gedarim, these types of fences, which also make things forbidden, and it has the same effect as on a Torah level of prohibition. That, my friends, gives us an insight into the science of speech, into the power of speech, into the kedusha, the inherent holiness, and how careful we have to be with speech. And the final level, he says, is the power of speech, how it can change worlds. The idea of tzaddik gozer, v'kadosh baruch hu mekayim, a tzaddik can make a certain decision, a certain bracha, and Hashem will follow through with it. This is the power that a tzaddik has. This is the power that people have with their mouth. But, and this is a great piece in Source 14 of Rav Chaim Vital, on the pasuk we began with, of lo yachel dvaro, kechol hayotzei mipiv yaseh. So he looks at this pasuk into two parts. Lo yachel dvaro, if a person is careful not to machalo his speech, a person is careful that all of his speech is proper. He doesn't lie, he doesn't exaggerate, he doesn't use his speech for an improper use. Then, kechol hayotzei mipiv yaseh, all that person says, yaaseh, which normally on pshat means that person should do. Whatever he commits to, he shall follow through. On the drash level, says Rav Chaim Vital and Eitz Hadas Tov, he says, Ya'aseh is a reference to Hashem. Whatever you say, Hashem will do. Hadam yigzor omer v'kadosh baruch yakim et varo. That's the power that we have. We have the power to say words and create revolutions. We have the power, as the Chidah speaks about, to recognize in each and every one of our words we're creating strength, or God forbid, the opposite in the worlds around us. Everything that we do, everything that we say, every word of Kedusha creates so much koach, so much power. And that is why, my friends, when Chazal tell us, based on the Pasuk in Mishle, Mavid in 16, V'chayim b'yad haloshon, that death and life are in the hands of the mouth, we can begin to appreciate what this means. We can begin to appreciate that it's not just the words that we say, which we'll talk about in a minute, that have such power, but it's the ability in its own right, what the words represent. They represent a direct connection, almost like a direct wire to Shamayim. We have the ability in what we say to create worlds or to destroy worlds, because our words are inherently words that are connected to the spiritual part of ourselves, and we have to be so careful not to desecrate them in any which way. And this idea is really developed very beautifully in the Nesiva Shalom in source number 19, where he describes, based on the Rabbeinu Yonah, in Pirkei Avos, the first parak, Mishnah Yud Zayin, Ki Yehudi HaMikadesh Et Piv, a Jew who sanctifies his mouth, Naseh Piv, his mouth becomes, listen to this imagery, it is so incredible, Kikli Sharet, it becomes like a vessel used in the temple. U'kishem shekli sharet mekadesh et hamincha munacha b'tocha. And just like when you put the mincha, the flour, in this utensil, in this frying pan, it takes on holiness because the frying pan is holy. So too, ayidei dibur shiodi motzi mepiv shukli sharet, if we are able to sanctify our mouths, then anything that comes out of our mouths is Kedusha, is holiness. Because indeed, as the Pasuk in Yeshaya tells us, says in Nesiva Shalom, Amzu Yatsarti Li, Hashem created this nation. For what reason? Why did God create us? Tihilati Yisaperu. The reason why God created us is Tihilati Yisaperu, that we would speak words of Tihilos V'Tishbachos, words of praise to Hashem. If that's the point of creation, if that's the Tachlis Abriya, the point of creation is to say words of praise to Hashem, then our mouths become that Kli Sharet. Why did God create our mouths? To sing praises to Hashem. Tehilos v'tishbachos. And therefore our mouths are used for something holy. He gives a great Hasidic vort on Parshas Balak when it says, when Balak saw it, Kol Asher Asah Yisrael L'Amori, all the Jewish people did to the nation Amori. On a deeper level, he says, Kol Masha Asah Kadosh Baruch Hu, Balak saw that all that Hashem did, Hu Bishvil Yisrael L'Amori, was for the Jewish people, le'emori, in order for the Jewish people to speak, to be able to say words, le'emori, playing on amar, to be able to thank and praise Hashem. And that is why a Jew's mission in this world is to spend time in Torah study. And as we know, the Torah study should be said quietly. It's not like, you know, a library, lahavdil. You ever walk into a Beis Medrash, they're screaming and yelling. We know the famous Gemara Bruria, who reprimanded a student for learning quietly. Learning should be done out loud. Tefillah, which is obviously an expression of the mouth. Even Shabbos, Katshehu, when we sanctify Shabbos, we sanctify it with words. Because our mouths is the Kli Sharet. It's the way we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in fact, we know Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, had I been in Mount Sinai, I might have asked God for two mouths. One mouth for Kedusha, and one mouth to just, you know, speak everyday things. But the fact that Hashem gave us one mouth creates such a tremendous challenge. If we realize that our mouth is a kli sharet, if we realize that our mouth is something that is used, like that pan, that anything put on it automatically turns into Kedusha, then we have to recognize that what comes out of our mouth is levels and words that have in them Kedusha. So let's stop. Let's think how we speak. Let's recognize that if I would have, as an example, a Sefer Torah in my possession, I wouldn't use that Sefer Torah as a door stopper or God forbid, oh, you know, something, you know, to hold my books in place, bookends. God forbid, I would treat it with such Kedusha, with such holiness. Why is it that our mouths, which are on this level, the Kli Sharet, the level of a Sefer Torah in its Kedusha, that we profane it? Lo Yachel Dvaro is the message. This was the message that's given over. Don't make your words chulin. Don't profane your words. And he goes on to say in 20, and this is what it means, lo yachel dvaro, because shekol hayotzei mipiv yaseh, all that comes out of your mouth, you will do. We saw it means that you have to keep your word. Yaseh, Hashem will do, Rav Chaim Vital, whatever you say, Hashem will keep your word. Adds in the Siva Shalom a third dimension. Shekol hayotzei mipiv yaseh malach. The asterisk in 20. The angel follows through on whatever you say. You create positive angels or you can create negative angels. But recognize that whatever you say has an effect in this world. And that's why we know when we talk about klolos, curses, God forbid, we know, lo tekalel chayresh, you can't even curse a deaf person. Ah, a deaf person doesn't hear it. That's correct. Even if he doesn't hear it, it creates a profound impact in this world. And recognize whatever we say creates worlds and impacts in worlds. That the malach takes those words and it creates a reality. And every single word that we say, and this is in 21, and Gemara says, "Magid l'adam masicho, afilu sicha yeteira magidin lo la'adam b'yom hadin." Every single conversation that we have is recorded for the Yom Hadin. And my friends, we have it easy compared to 100 or 200 years ago. You know, you learn this Gemara, you know, 100 years ago, that everything you said is recorded and is going to be brought back to you. You say, what does that mean? Today, of course, we know what that means. We record people whether they realize it or don't realize it. The recording devices are so small, all you need is even less than a wristwatch. We know what it means. And if you want to have a little bit of a sense of the enormity of this, I remember when I was interviewing for my first job 20 plus years ago, I remember the principal saying to me, if you want to know whether you're a good teacher or not, I never tried this. I guess I never wanted to know whether it's a good teacher or not. But you could try this in your home once. He says, put a tape recorder in and listen how much you're talking and how much the students are talking. If you hear yourself talk too much, then you know you're missing something. But it'd be fascinating just playing on that idea to just record the conversations that are found in your house. Doesn't have to be all day. It would be just for an hour. And then play it back to you. And to your family. Listen to the way people talk to each other. Listen to the way you talk. It gives you a sense. Are we using this Kli Sharet appropriately or inappropriately? And the same would hold true of work. Obviously, there are issues of privacy, etc., that you would need to gain permission before doing such a thing. The Koach of Dibor. And Siva Shalom takes this one step further, and he says in 22, this is what it means when Chazal tells us about Shabbos, V'chibadeto masot rachecha mimso chefzacha v'daver davar in 22, that on Shabbos your dibur should be different. It doesn't only mean that you shouldn't speak words of chol on Shabbos, and you should be speaking words of Torah and tefillah. Yes, that's all true. But your words should be minimized on Shabbos. Sarich letzamsem habdibur kechol ha'efshar. Because the question we need to ask ourselves is twofold. One, is our speech appropriate? And two, is everything that we're saying need to be said or not? Do we just sometimes talk to fill up air and we're misusing, we're disgracing this very fine tool that was given to us, the tool of speech. In fact, there is a great vort in a much more complicated section in our parsha. The vort is found at the end of source 13. It's based on the Imri Emes. On the idea of if a woman makes a vow, let's say she makes a vow to be a nazir, and her husband hears the vow, and he says, no, you don't, I'm annulling the vow for you, you're not a nazir. So if this woman goes and drinks wine, right, unaware that her husband annulled her vow, so she didn't really do anything wrong because she's not a nazir because her husband annulled her vow. But nevertheless, the Torah says, Vashem yislach la, Hashem will forgive her. Forgive her for what? She didn't do anything wrong. All right, so there's a lot of Torah written on this, a lot of ink spilled on this, that she went against her neder, knowing that she made this neder, even unaware that her husband had nullified it, but she was going to go against it, whatever it may be. Says the Imri Emes, you know what was wrong with this? Oh, what a piece. He says, her words had no value. She said she was going to do something. Her husband nullified it. Now her words didn't have any meaning. The forgiveness is for saying something that was empty, that was meaningless. My friends, do you hear the power in this? This is what it means, the science of speech, the ability to recognize how we speak, when we speak, and what we do with that speech. How we speak and be able to use speech. Mavid v'chayim biyad haloshon. If death and life are in the hands of speech, and speech is so important, so then it behooves us at this time of year, when we're working on being metakein the chayt of lashon hara, and this year I'm in a state, both this week as well, Mirtz Hashem. Next week we'll also talk about Tisha B'Av and Mirtz Hashem, to focus it on the positive, not the negative, not to speak about lashon hara, but to speak about how can we utilize our speech positively. So Rav Freifeld writes in this great sefer, Rav Freifeld speaks in 22, quotes the Gemara Nasser 23 bet, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mekapeach afilu schar sicha na. The Holy One, blessed be He, does not begrudge anything, not even the reward for pleasant conversation. So what is this referring to? So Rav Freifeld said, obviously it can't be Torah conversation, because obviously Hashem is not going to begrudge you any Torah conversation. Of course you're going to reward it. But rather, he says, the Gemara must be discussing even lesser conversations. Conversations that not necessarily fulfill any specific mitzvahs. But if a person conducts even his casual conversations in a pleasant manner, he's also worthy of a reward. What does this mean? So he goes through, and I think this is such a fantastic idea. He says, why are we created in this world? Sorry, so we spoke about the idea to sing praises to Hashem, which is correct. But there's also an idea that we're in this world, our purpose in this world, whether or not we truly understand it, is to recognize the divinity of the Almighty within His creation, which is, again, playing on this idea of praise of Hashem. That is a central function of the human intellect, to observe and study and think and discover the guiding hand of the Almighty and His infinite greatness. But knowing God is not enough. It's v'halachta bedrachav. You have to mistapek b'midosav. You have to emulate God's ways. That whatever God does, if He is merciful, we have to be merciful. That's why we're here in this world. We're here in this world to emulate Hashem. Now, one of the things that we say about Hashem in Source 26, this is gevaldik, is v'ata mechaye ekulam, and you give life to them all. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu maintains the entire world at all times through a continuous shefa of chiyus, a never-ceasing emanation of the life force. Should he interrupt this emanation for even one moment, creation would cease to exist. This, then, is the most fundamental attribute of the Almighty's relationship with the cosmos, the giving and sustaining of life itself. It follows that we as Jews must also seek to be life givers. Our avoda, our divine service in this world, is to give life to others, to be considered a bonei olam, builders of the world, to recognize and emulate the Almighty himself. And one of the ways that Rav Freifeld says that we can do this is in 29, a sicha na'a, a pleasant conversation. If you speak to others with kindness and compassion, you can literally revive and sustain them. You can give them life. You can become a bona olam, a builder of the world. And for that, you deserve to be rewarded. A stranger walks into a beis medrash, you go over and you say, Hashem Aleichem, with these two simple words, you've transformed him. In effect, you've told him, you're somebody important. You count. I recognize your worth and I acknowledge it. That is pleasant conversation that gives life, that revives, that sustains, that deserves a great reward. My friends, we have such an incredible ability at this time of year, obviously throughout the whole year, but when we want to work on the opposite of sinas chinam, of baseless hatred, we want to be able to learn the message of the parsha for our lives, it's to be able to recognize that our mouths are klisharet. Our ability to speak is a divine ordain coming from the deepest part of our spiritual being. This Ruach Mamalala, this breath of life, this Nefesh Chaya, is this Ruach Mamala, this gift of speech which makes us different from the animals. And our ability is to use this gift, obviously in ways of Kedusha, of Torah, of Tefillah, obviously. But even in our Sichas Chulin, even our everyday interactions, lo yachel dvaro, not to profane our use of our speech, but to be able to be bona olam, build worlds, through a sicha na, through saying hello to somebody, a stranger in shul, giving them a hello, a smile, welcome, are you new here, are you visiting? And my friends, the ramifications obviously are many. I remember just last week, in one of my adult classes, a woman comes over to me after the class and says to me, you know, Shira, I've recently been wearing, and she was wearing a purple blouse, I've been wearing this purple blouse a lot lately. And I'm thinking to myself, that is really bizarre. Like, why are you sharing this piece of information with me? And then she continues, because I didn't want to ask her so. She said, and you know, Shira, it's because a few weeks ago, you complimented me on how nice I look in this blouse. And now I feel good every time I wear it, and I really enjoy wearing it. My friends, do you realize how you can make a casual comment that someone looks good in a certain color? It's bona olam. It makes a person feel good every time they wear it. You know how many opportunities we have to be bona olam, to build worlds? There's a story Rabbi Spiro tells. Perhaps I've shared it with you, but I'd like to share it again, of a family that came from the Midwest on Pesach every year to be by their cousins. And they had like this minhag every year, a family custom, to go out to Carvel ice cream, Motzei Pesach, while people were cleaning up. So the fathers would take, or someone would take the kids out, to get them out of the house to take them to Carvel ice cream. And this was going on year after year. So one year, you know, all the cousins are ordering, you know, this ice cream and that ice cream, and the woman is trying to get down all the orders. And after she gets down all the orders, she looks carefully at this family, looks at them very carefully, and says, I don't see your grandfather. Is everything okay? They look at her a little bit quizzically, and they said, yeah, our grandfather's fine. He just wasn't feeling that well. He decided to stay home and not, you know, go out to the ice cream parlor. And they looked at her and they said, but how did you know that we usually come with our grandfather? And she said to them the following, my friend, this is bona olam. She says, you should know I wait for your grandfather's visit all year. Because everyone just walks in here and orders. Your grandfather treats me like a person. He asks me how I am, how my year has been, how are things going on, and he treats me like a person. And I look forward to this conversation the entire year. You bet the family went home, told the grandfather this, even though he wasn't feeling well, he got his jacket on, and he went out to the ice cream place to speak to this woman. Can you imagine, my friend, what a sad statement of society that a woman has to wait a whole year for one person to treat her like a mensch. Bona olam. This is what builds worlds. This is the power of speech. This is the power of a sicha na'a. This is the ability that each and every one of us have. And not only have, this is our challenge. Today being July 4th weekend, I'm sure a lot of people are getting together with family they haven't seen for a long time. What are you going to talk about? Or friends? Utilize it as a time to build people up, to give them the confidence in life, to be able to move them forward instead of criticizing, instead of speaking negatively. Take this opportunity and be a bona olam, a creator of worlds. That's the first understanding, why the Rashi Amato, why the leaders, because the leaders are the one who can understand to the full degree the severity of speech. The Mikdash HaLevi, and I'll just mention this, gives us the second of our three enters. And that's, he says, is that the Rashi Amato Dafka, because they are people who are involved in making promises to the Tzibur, to the people, and oftentimes they make promises that they have no intention of keeping. That's why the leadership has to realize that if you want to be a leader, part of leadership is whatever you promise, you have to the best of your ability, follow through. How many times do we know that leaders have platforms with no intentions of following through, but it looks good, it sounds good? No. Lo yachel dvaro, kechol hayotzei mipiv yaseh. A leader in particular has to be makpid, has to be careful of what comes out of his mouth. And then I think there's a third reason, my friends. And this is not only to leaders in the classic sense of Rashi Matot, but in a drash level that we know that a mate, a tribe, is also a reference on not only a micro level, not only a macro level, but a micro level as well. And that's the head of the families. You know, there's an interesting Ramban by the birth of the tribe of Zvulun, where Alei Menu says that this child is a Zeved Tov. And the Ramban says Zeved is a compound word of Zebad. This is a branch, like the Badim, the poles that held up parts of the Mishkan. And he describes here very beautifully that every child is like a branch, and Hapam Yisbeleni Ishi, now my husband, will dwell underneath my tree. I've had 6 children, and he'll dwell in my shade. And that's the imagery we have of a family tree, and then each child is a branch on the tree. The matot, literally the stick, the branch, the Rashi HaMatot, is a reference to leaders, yes, the heads of the tribes, but also the heads of the family. And that when we're talking about the inyan of speech, it is imperative that parents and leaders be able to give over to, directly, to their family, to their constituents, the inyan of speech. And this is why the Mikdash HaLevi points out in 35 that the only halacha that is found the year before a boy turns bar mitzvah and a girl turns bat mitzvah is the inyanim of nedarim. Why? Because they have to understand how terrible it is to lie. And Rav Pinkus and Tiferet Shimshon in 32 through 34 develops this idea. He says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create the world, the Midah of Emes says, the attribute of truth says, don't create the world, because the world is a place of falsehoods and lie. Ki kachu tava adam, the nature of a person is to lie. And there are big lies, and there are little lies, and there are white lies, and there are pink lies, and there are all sorts of lies. And it's very hard. And he says this, and I challenge all of us to try this. Tell over a story of what happened Or listen to your kid tell over a story, right? Kid comes home from school. You'll never believe this, Ima. You know, there were 30 boys, and there were hundreds of kids watching. And there was, you know, gallons of blood, right? You know, it was this little cut, right? Exaggeration all over. And we just smile and listen and say, wow, that sounds like a terrible story. And that's how lies become perpetuated. And you'll say, oh, it's a little bit of an exaggeration. Come on, give me a break. No. If the Chotam Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is MS, then we as parents have to be able to be so careful with ourselves as well as our children that whatever comes out of our mouth is truth. There were hundreds of kids watching or there were a lot of children watching. And your children will learn to pay more attention to everything that comes out. So often people say, what's the big deal? You get the idea. If you say that, what's the big deal? So I exaggerated a little bit. So I'm stretching it. Come on, we all do that. Then we've lost the art and science of speech. We don't understand that it's like taking a bow of a violin and using it to try to cut my cucumbers. You are going to, or to use it as a doorstopper, you are going to lose the fineness. You're going to lose the beauty and the specialness of that instrument. And that's how careful we need to be. Why to the Rashi Amatot? That's to you and me, my friends. That's to us as parents. How careful we need to be in our work environment, in our home environment, that our word is our word. And we see this on the last page in Vayomer Yehuda, a Rav in Tellstones, who says, you see this in our Parsha, where Moshe Rabbeinu, in his discussion with Reuven, Gad, and Chasi Shev and Menashe, when he reiterates it, he says, V'hayotze the arrow mipichem ta'asu. Whatever you said, you have to do. You added that you were going to be in the front lines. You have to hold by your words. That's the key of the Parsha. Hayotze mipichem ta'asu. Don't make these grandiose promises. As a leader, Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching this pivotal lesson that our words mean something. And in fact, the Daniel points out, I think it's fascinating, that if you take a look at Sefer Bamidbar, one of the pivotal themes in Sefer Bamidbar is this theme of speech. Whether it's the Nazir who's able to take on a vow of Nazirus through a speech, whether it's Miriam who's punished because of her speech, the Meraglim who caused all the Jewish people not to enter into Eretz Yisrael because of their speech, and whether it's Bilam who tried to curse the Jewish people instead of blessing them, again, the power of speech. My friends, let's summarize and end with two final ideas. Why were the leaders the ones chosen? Because the leaders were told this in a succinct manner, and the leaders could appreciate the koach adibur, to recognize that we are inherently holy. This is our klishare. This is our holy path. Everything we put on it is holy. Lo yachel dvaro. Don't make chulin out of your words. Be able to recognize that whatever you say should be said v'kedusha, b'tara, should be said appropriately. Recognize the ability to build worlds through the koach of speech. Mavet v'chayim b'yad lashon. Death and life are in the hands of speech. And how important it is during this particular time as well as all year to train ourselves in a sicha na'a, that Hashem has a special reward for those who go around saying pleasant things, the hello, the compliment, the building people up, that we are like a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we have the ability to infuse life into those around us. What a tremendous koach that we have. Second, why the leaders? Because the leaders fall into a pitfall of not keeping to the words more than anyone else. So they are given a direct warning. Whatever you say, you have to do. And third, the leaders are the leaders of the community as well as the leaders of our miniature community of each family. That a parent has to make sure that what they need to work on within their family is the midah of emes, of truth, Chotam Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes, the seal of God is truth. To be able to emulate Hashem is to be able to speak words of truth. A child will learn this by the parent speaking honestly and truthfully, that the parent will keep their word, as well as training the child not to exaggerate. If they don't know, to say, I don't know, instead of making something up, and to be able to be recognize that what I am interested in is truth. And by the way, such a child will then come to be able to deal with life on a much, much more sophisticated level. So that when something happens, instead of telling a white lie to get out of it, the child will be able to own up to the truth. Yes, I did this, I was wrong, and I apologize. Practically for us, what do we need to do to recognize in our own lives that we should be able to speak words of truth, that we should have the sicha na, that we should recognize the tremendous spiritual power that we have with everything that comes out of our mouth? So we need to keep in mind, I think, a number of things. One is found in the Or Daniel in 39. He gives the imagery of a garage opener, right? That if you're within the vicinity and you press the button, so the garage door goes up. He says, every time a word comes out of your mouth, you should see, like that imagery of the garage door opening, there is a reaction to what you say. And recognize that it's not the garage door opening, but rather, poteach chalal ba'olamot elyonim. You are opening worlds up in heaven. And the Shemayim, the Malachim, the angels, are listening to what you say. And that if it's positive speech, it's going to create positive repercussions. And if it's negative speech, God forbid, it can create negative repercussions. To have that imagery that every time we speak, we are building or destroying worlds. We have the ability, every time we utilize our mouth, to create malachim, to create spiritual energy in the world. And therefore, my friends, in 40, the Ramban in his Igaret, in his letter says, V'chashov hadibur, in the asterisk, kodem shetotzienu mepicha. Before you say anything, think. Is this worth saying or not? And as he knows in the Smijijic line, V'terem totzia dibur mipicha tirei mefshar lecha zulato. Al totzia mipicha. V'gamim tia mesupak al totzia mipicha. He says, this is what you should do. Before saying anything, ask yourself, is this appropriate to say? Should I say this? If yes, say it. If you're not sure, silence is golden. And I tell you, my friends, this is a money-back guarantee. If we would just think before we speak, we would save ourselves and the people around us a lot of pain and difficulty. It's just that ability to harness this crucial tool. Just like before we take a hammer, we think, where am I wielding this hammer? Where is the nail? And I want to make sure to hit the nail on the head and not my thumb or someone else's thumb or break something. That's how we have to think before we open our mouths. What is it that we're saying? Is this going to hit the nail on the head? Is this appropriate or not? My bracha to all of us, my friends, is that this time of year, when we have the Shechina, we have the divine presence that we're mourning for, that has left us, that has become distant for us, we have the ticket on how to bring the Shechina Kedosha, the divine presence, back to us. And the bracha I leave us with is that we're able to utilize this koach hadibur, this power of speech, and that we're careful about what we say when we say it, and that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, recognizing how careful we are, will be able to bring his Ashras Hashchina, his divine presence, down on each and every one of us, and that we will have, and we will be on the level of Kichol, of Lo Yachel Dvaro, Kichol HaYotzei Mivpi, that all that comes out of our mouths which are used for Kedusha, our mouths that tell the truth, our mouths that don't exaggerate, our mouths that are Bonei Olam, that builds up worlds, then Yaseh, Kadosh Baruch Hu will do our will and will be on the level of Sadi Gozer and Kadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim.